You know, I thought, oh, maybe nobody was supposed to hear this message tonight except those people that were here, huh? I always said, you know, Martha will give me one of these. You know why she gives me one? One of these? Because she'll ask me, what happened in the service? God moved. Oh, then I say, if you want to know, you should have been here. You know, listen, you never know what God is going to do when two or three are gathered together in His name. Isn't that right? You see, the Word of God tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, He said He always. Do you know what that word means? Do you know, if you look up the word always, and I'll read my text later, but if you look at it, it says here, all, A-L-L, ways, W-A-Y-S. In every way you can think of, in any way you can go before God, any problem you have, any circumstance, any situation, God always causes me to triumph in Him. If I am in Him, then I am triumphant. I'm not a defeated person. I'm triumphant. It makes no difference what I'm going through, what my children are going through, what's going on round and about me, what you're going through tonight. Listen to what the Word of God tells you. He said, if you be in me, you are triumphant. You are the winner. You are not the loser. You're not coming up short. You're not anything but what God has called you to be. He's made you more than a royal priest. He's made you a conqueror tonight, bride. He's made you those things. And even though, Sue, even though the devil has run you and he's beaten you, guess what? If you be in Christ, you're the winner. He's the loser. You are the winner tonight. You're not a loser. You're the winner. You are above all circumstance. He said, come, come, let us reason together. He says, come on, I'm going to make you to sit with me in heavenly places above any place that the enemy can reach me. He may hinder me. He may bite my feet. He may try to hold on to me. But God has pulled me to sit in heavenly places. I'm seated with Jesus. I am seated with Jesus. The only thing I've got to do is hold on to His hand. The only thing I've got to do is fight the good fight of faith. By faith you received your salvation. By faith you received your healing. By faith you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By faith, by faith, by faith. Faith in God's Word and in who He says He is. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish whereunto I sent it. And not only shall it accomplish, but He said, and it shall prosper in that very thing. So as the word's coming out tonight, I expect God to prosper the word that I'm speaking out, the word I'm telling you. I expect to see prosperity in that word. You know, we say we believe this word. We say we're standing on this word. But if we believe it and we're standing on it, then let's act like it. He said, be a doer, not just a hearer only. You can hear this word, but do you dare step out? You know, if it be you, Lord, then bid me come. Come on, Peter, get out of the boat. You'll not sink any farther than I cannot hold you if you'll just get out of the boat. The problem with a lot of Christians is they're too comfortable in the boat. They're afraid to get out. They're afraid to let go and think maybe who's going to hold you? God's going to hold you. He give His angels charge over you. He said, angels that excel in strength, that hearken to God's word, speak God's word. He said, try me and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. You see, the word the Word. We are anchored. We're not a casual floater in and floater out. We're anchored. We're anchored in Jesus. And if we're anchored, then we can lay hold of what is in the ship. Have you ever got down in the bow of the ship to see what God has stored in the bow of the boat for you? He's got your name on it here. He's got Bonnie. He's got Paula. He's got Jill. He's got Tim. He's got Betty. You know what? We need to go to the bow of the boat and find out what's down there for us. Not just stay upon deck looking around, thinking of how good it would be if the sails were to unfold. Listen, if the sails get unfolded, we're moving. And if we're moving, then we're all going together. And if one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, what can we all put to flight if we'll dare to get on deck with him? You see, we want to see this and we want to see that. Well, guess what? He wants to see this and he wants to see this. He wants to see this. He wants to hear the praises of his people. He wants to hear life and death's in the power of the tongue. He wants to hear you speaking out that you believe what you're reading, that you're believing what he's telling you. He wants you to dare to step out. Dare to step out. Listen, can I tell you something? When the man was laying next to the water, the pond of Siloam, and the angel came down and stirred the water, the first one in got what they wanted. Guess what? That was the angel stirring the water. But Jesus has been stirring the water every day since he went to the cross. He's stirring the water. Do you dare to get in? I always said, had I been that man and I was laying there, if I was laying on the porch and there was no man to help me in, God help me, I'd just roll over and fall in. I'd just roll over and fall. I wanted it that bad, I'd roll over and fall in. You see, it's time we fell in. It's time we got up over our head, where we've got to depend upon the Lord. It's time. It's not a time to set back. It's time that the body of Christ exercised its faith. You know, I'll tell you, you can have all that treadmills. You can have those Bowflex, and they can sit there in the corner, and they can have dust all over them, you know. If you don't use them, it ain't doing anything. It ain't doing anything, you know. And if you don't get there to the place in time where you're going to get on the treadmill and use the treadmill, you know, I can't really see that treadmill. You know, I'm running to nowhere. I'm running to nowhere. All I'm doing is running on the treadmill, and I'm standing in the same old spot. I never go anywhere. But when I get out, where I'm out in the world, and I get out and I'm walking and I'm talking and I'm letting the Holy Ghost run through me, and when I come in contact with somebody and they need prayer, then there I am. I can pray for them there. I can pray. Listen, do you dare? Do you dare to take somebody's hand in the middle of the mall? Do you dare to take it in a hospital? Do you dare to take their hand and pray in the name of Jesus? Receive your healing. Do you dare? I challenge you this week. I challenge you this week to take somebody's hand somewhere and pray for them. Just like Martha did there at the mall. I don't care if it's a Muslim. I don't care what they are. Will you dare to take a hand and pray for them? Exercising your faith. You see, what good is it? It says, show me your faith, but I want to see your works. I want to see your works. You say, oh, pastor, I'm not going to heaven on my works. But let me tell you, When you get to heaven, the works are what makes the jewels in the crown. And what do you want to do? Just pass a little old cardboard crown to Jesus? When you had the opportunity to have it of gold, when you had the opportunity to have jewel after jewel after jewel put in your crown, that when you got before God's Son, you got before Him that you could lay etoshendere butra vasindre hokuchereba. You could lay it at His feet and He would look at it and smile. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine what it will be like when the Master smiles at you? Woo! You think He blesses you now. You know why you've got to have a glorified body? Because if He smiled at you like He will smile at you, your body would melt right there. It couldn't take it. Why did He have to come down in a tent and line the tent with smoke so the children of Israel, and then He said, don't touch the tent, don't touch the ground on where the tent is at. Why? Because it is holy, holy, holy. And you see, He came down and they could hear the thunderings. They could see the lightning. They could hear the voice of God as He spoke to Moses. And then right away, Moses, you go in and talk to God, because if we go in there to talk to God, God's liable to kill us. Well, I'll tell you what, with their double standard, they might have got dead. You know, one minute we're serving God and the next minute we're out here making a golden calf. One minute we're serving God and the next minute we're out here doing whatever. Do you really think that God's going to pour out His blessings on somebody that He's not pleased with? I don't. He said, come ye out from among them. Touch not. And then I shall receive you, that where I am there, you may be also. Do you know He wants you to be with Him? The Word of God even tells you He would that all would be saved. But the choice is in their ballpark. The only ones, Brother Brian, that haven't got any problem is the fact that one day Jonah may have to appear to your sons and my son. You see, Jonah may have to be brought to life. Jonah may have to be manifested for them to see what God's desire. You see, I read in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15, it is where God's talking about that Jesus appeared unto Caiaphas. And I thought, why did He appear to Caiaphas? The priest of the day. What did He say to the man when he healed him? He said, go and show yourself to the priest. He went, showed Himself. It says first He appeared to Caiaphas, then He appeared to the 12, then He appeared to 500, and then they couldn't count how many He appeared in front of, and they saw Him rise out of 3 days in the belly of a earth, and He rose up and He walked. Do you know why He did that? To show the devil and all of the people that I'm the victory. I'm the triumph here, not you. You may try. You may make your party. You may think you've done everything. You know, the Bible even talks about in the book of Revelation that when it comes down in the end, that they're going to give, when the two witnesses are dead, they're going to give gifts to one another. Like Christmas, they're going to give gifts to one another. Why? Because they've killed the two witnesses. But you know what? 3 days after they give out their gifts, guess what? God's going to give out the grace. He's going to give out a gift that says, come up here. And they're going to rise. They're going to rise. Devoshai, they're going to rise up off this earth and they're going to be transported to be with Jesus. Now, where is your sting, O death? Where is your triumph now, devil? Where is your triumph, government? Where is your triumph, kings and princes? Where is your triumph? Because one day after that, you're going to see him coming back. And when he comes back, I'm going to come back. I don't know, but I'm going to come back riding a white horse. And when I do, I'm going to be behind him. And he's going to have a rod of iron. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a conquering king. And all the spoils that go for the conqueror belong to him. You see, he showed himself to the priest. He showed himself to his disciples. Then he showed himself to 500. And then he just became a show-off, showing who he was to the world, to that world at that time. You see, so that's why I'm telling you, hon, if you get into Jesus, look what he will do for you. What can hold you? Do you imagine? What can hold you in captivity? What can hold you bound tonight? What can cause your children to say, I'm not going to do it? You may not tell me, you may tell me you're not going to do it, but I got news for you. There's one that will say, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. You think you're going to get away with mocking my God? Who? Look out. The word of God said, beware, he's not a man that you should mock him. Listen, I'm telling you, I read in the word of God where those people that mocked him and played their games, the ground opened up and swallowed them, the fire fell out of heaven. Listen, my God is an awesome God, but my God has a day that he's going to say, you've messed with me long enough, boy. Now receive what you've got coming. The word of God even tells you it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a just God. Just means you got just what you deserve. We're justified if we know Jesus, just as if we never sinned. But there's coming a day. I don't know when that day is. They're telling me the 23rd this month, you know. But I got news for them. I read the book. It said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour even. You know, you can set all the dates you want, and then you've got to change them every day because he didn't come. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't worry me about when he's coming. It just concerns me that I'm ready to go at such an hour as I think not. Patty, at such a time as I think not, so cometh the Son of Man. You know? And you know, I had to think. I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what are you going to do about my children? He said, didn't I say in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if I'm coming after you, think what I can do to those children, how quick I can do it. You put the word into them already. He doesn't have to put the word. Listen, if you put the word into that child, you don't have to worry about it because God will manifest that word. He will make his word real to them, and they will receive God. Hallelujah. You see, I'm telling you, people, if he's got in his word 19 verses that tell me that I can have my seed and my seed, who am I to say, you're a liar? You may call him a liar. I'm not calling him a liar. You know, when I was littler and I was about 158 pounds, I didn't know any better than to call somebody bigger than me a liar. Because I wasn't afraid. Didn't matter who they were, I wasn't afraid. I'd call them a liar. Some nights I went home with souvenirs, you know. You don't call a black eye or a bloody nose or a cut lip. You didn't call that a souvenir? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I went home with souvenirs. But you see, I'm going to tell you something. There is one that no man will ever call him a liar. Amen. Because the word tells you, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And if in the word he said he will save your children, if he will save your grandchildren, if he said he's able to keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, if he said, whatsoever you commit unto me, I'm able to keep. If he said it in the word, and the man is not a liar, but now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, then who am I not to just receive it? by faith. I receive it by faith. You see, listen, I'm not going to go in here and find anything to dispute his word. I'm going to go in here and find that which confirms his word. I'm not looking for something that disfirms. I'm looking for something that confirms his word. I'm looking for something that's able to keep me in the midst of the storm. I'm looking for something when I'm on the boat and the waves are over my head. If it's a tsunami, I don't care what it is. I'm looking for one that can stand up in the midst of the water and say, go around this one. He's mine. And that water will part. You say it can't. Listen, in the Dead Sea, the water parted. If I need the water parted, he'll part the water. If not, I'll breathe on the other side in his glory. You can't whip me. I'm a winner. Either way, I'm a winner. If I stay, I'm a winner. If I go, I'm a winner. You see, we've got to come to the place where we believe what we're reading. We've got to come to the place that we are anchored in it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you, people? Do you realize that the God that spoke and the earth was formed? The God that spoke and the stars run to get into place. He spoke and the moon jumped where it should be and the sun fell back where it should be. And he spoke, and the earth got on its axis and began to turn as it should turn. Then he spoke, and it got dark. And then he said, go away, and it became light. That was a day. He spoke. Who spoke? He spoke. He who? He that's seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for me. I don't know about you, but I know he makes intercession for me because I know when I go down the street and that car comes across the line into my lane and all of a sudden he jumps back. Or when the one goes by me and smiles real big when he tries to run me off the road and all of a sudden he's three cars in front of me and not beside me where he was. Don't tell me he's not interceding. You see, at such a time as you think not, so cometh the Son of Man. You see, the world is making all kinds of plans. My son called me and he's making plans. And I told my son, I said, if God let you. Because my son don't like to talk to me too much anymore. You know, I had to sit down and write a letter, how I felt. Because he wouldn't talk to me, and when he did talk to me, most of the time he'd been drinking, and I wanted his mind clear. And then because I had some oil at home, I anointed the letter on the inside, which run over on the outside. So everybody that handled the letter getting to him, and then when his grandson went and picked up the letter for him, the grandson had to handle the letter. And then when I called, my grandson was going in to have his ankle operated on. I said, the Holy Ghost wants to pray for you. He said, who? I said, the Holy Ghost. He said, Papa, is that when you speak in that tongue thing? I said, that's when I speak in that tongue thing. He said, okay, Papa. I said, put your hand on your ankle. And the Holy Ghost began to pray for him. You know? Listen, people. Never, never, never be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Because can I tell you a little secret? The Word of God tells you that tongues are not for the believer. They are for the unbeliever, that one that does not believe in them. And I'll tell you a little story before Brother Tim comes to sing. Back when I first got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost, I worked with a Baptist man, and nothing against Baptists. Don't say, oh, pastor. No, I'm pastor's not speaking anything against the Baptists, you know? I love their foundation. It's just their tower hasn't got there yet. But I can remember being at work, and while I'm at work, this Baptist man, that he come up to me, and he began to talk to me. And don't ask me why, don't ask me the reason, but I turned around and looked at him. And I'm looking at him, and I started to speak to him, and the Holy Ghost started speaking to him. And he... And the minute I got done, he looked at me and said, I didn't know God had that big a hold on you. And he was gone. You know, gone, the stole is rolled back, gone, the grave is empty. He was gone, brother. I mean, he was gone. And he didn't come back for 2 days to talk to me. You know, if you'll let the Holy Ghost, you'll find out something. The Holy Ghost can do more in 1 minute than you can do in a year. If you'll just let the Holy Ghost have his way in your life. Don't be ashamed of tongues. Don't be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I got news for you. It's the greatest thing in the world. Woo! I love it. There's nothing in my life like it. I mean, I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. But I got to tell you, they are nothing like the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes down and floods every avenue of my soul and I begin to feel them holy bumps that run up and down me, they ain't goosebumps. They're Holy Ghost bumps. And they run up and down the avenues of my soul. And I love it. Brother Tim, you can get ready to sing. I'll read my text. I'm done, brother, really. Really, I'm done. I'm just going to read my text. The first scripture I told you was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 4. It said, and that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. It was already told he was going to rise, and that he was seen of Caiaphas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, my other text was found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us. He makes manifest by us his word triumphing through us. He makes it manifest according to the knowledge. According to the knowledge. And Hosea 4, 6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That's why the enemy runs his course. Because we don't have the knowledge to stop him. But when we have the knowledge, then we can speak to the mountain, and it's got to move. Amen?